Have your Bibles, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. No doubt familiar scripture to our hearts today, but it is what the Lord has put on my heart. Think about and look at and try to examine and allow Him to turn on the light for us that we might see truth and help us in these days of serving and honoring Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Paul is writing and he said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." That's reading verses 7 through 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. There are some people that have been convinced that when you get saved and are right with God, that you'll never have a bad day. There are some that say you'll always bask in the sunshine, and they'll even coin phrases something like this, that something good is going to happen to you today. Well, it doesn't take long to realize that this world is filled with things that disrupt and our difficulties in our lives. There are things that we would have chosen to avoid if we could have. Things that we would have rather not had to face. And are burdensome and troublesome to our lives and to our hearts. There are things that detour us and turn us in a different direction than what we had planned to go. Some detours take us down to the unemployment office. Some detours take us to the doctor's office or to the operating room or the hospital bed. Some detours even take us to the funeral home. There are things that we did not plan for and do not like that God somehow has chosen to bring into our lives and to our hearts. We like the normal, don't we? We like routine. We like the comfortable process of everyday life. But sometimes things come our way that disrupt everything in our lives and our hearts. Paul met such a situation. Paul was faced with a circumstance of his life that I want to think about and share with your heart and mind today. A couple of Sundays ago, we talked about Paul's testimony. how that Paul talked about how God saved him, changed his life, put him in the family of God. But this morning, if I can, for a little bit, I'd like to talk about Paul's thorn. I'd like to think about what Paul described as a thorn in his flesh. First thing this morning I'd like to consider is the problem of Paul's thorn. That he described as the thorn in the flesh. You can't read these verses. You can't ponder what Paul says in verse 7 without understanding that what he describes is a frustrating experience in his life. Paul is not talking about a hangnail. He's not talking about a case of bursitis that's flared up in his life and in his heart. He's not talking about something that is just a normal problem of life. He is talking about something that has come to him personally and painfully in his life and in his heart. He describes it as a thorn in the flesh. That very word thorn that Paul uses is talking about not what you find on the rose bush. He is talking about a stake. It is the kind of stake that was used to impale somebody. He is describing something that's painful in his life and in his heart. Like a thorn, like a stake driven into his flesh. He tells us that it's personal. That he said it was given to me. He tells us that it was physical. It was in the flesh. But he tells us also that it was psychological. That it was, he said, used by Satan to buffet him. That word buffet, it means to browbeat. Paul is saying that this thorn in the flesh, it was something that tormented my life. It was something that hurt physically and mentally. It weighed on my life and on my heart. It was such the case that it drove him to his knees. Paul said in verse number 8, he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And Paul said, it hurt so bad, it tormented me so much, that I went to God, not just once, not just twice, but over and over again. I went on my knees to God and asked God to take it away, get rid of it. Paul was serious about his prayer. Paul was serious about what he was asking God to do. He wasn't saying to God, "Oh, this thing bothers me just a little bit." But he's saying, "God, this thing's got more than I can stand. This is something bigger than I can handle." And he sought God to take it out of his life, to remove it completely
from Him. I can just in my mind think about what Paul was saying. In my mind, Paul no doubt was saying, God, if you'll only take this away, if you'll only get rid of this, if the pain would only go away, if the hurt was only gone, then God, I could serve you, I could live for you, I could honor you, I could do all that I'd like to do, I could feel good again, if it was only gone. Have you ever prayed that kind of prayer in your life about something that troubled your heart, something that broke your heart, something that was so heavy that it just seemed like you could not go on as long as that was in your life? And Paul was there. Paul said, God, if you could only take it away, if you could only remove it, if you could only, only get this out of my life. We don't know exactly what Paul was talking about. We don't know what in particular the thorn was in his flesh. Some have suggested different things, but it's only speculation. I don't know what it was. But it could be that God left that hidden from our eyes, that it might help us. If we thought, well, this was what it was, if this was the situation for Paul, then that wouldn't apply for me. It wouldn't fit in my circumstance. But God didn't tell us what it was, because He wants us to know that there are times that we have thorns in the flesh. There are times we have problems, and we have situations bigger than what we can handle in our lives. And so we find out something about Paul's thorn, the problem of Paul's thorn. But notice, secondly, the purpose of Paul's thorn. In verse 7, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. He says it again, lest I should be exalted above measure. The idea was this. Paul said, to keep me from the sin of pride, to keep me from boasting in myself and being exalted in what I had seen in visions and revelations, God gave me this thorn in the flesh. I want you to understand that was the purpose of Paul's thorn. That doesn't mean that's the purpose of yours. It doesn't mean because of the danger of pride that God has brought something into your life. But here's what I am saying, that if God has chosen by His divine plan and purpose to bring something into your life, He does have a reason. He does have a purpose. He does have a plan for your life and for my life. That there are things that come our way that God in His divine plan and His divine will sees fit to allow in our lives. You can be sure He has a reason and He has a purpose. You do understand today that sometimes that God sees what you and I don't see to the point that He says that you need this in your life. Well, you don't need that in your life. You see, I see things on the surface. I see things in the here and now. But God sees the big picture. God sees from eternity to eternity. And God says in my life that I have a danger of this in my life, so He may bring something my way to keep me from that dangerous situation of life. For Paul, it was to keep him from pride that God brought the thorn in the flesh. You realize that God sometimes does not give us things we would like to have, because He knows it may take us away from Him. There may be somebody here today. You're trying to figure out why God hadn't blessed you with a lot of money. It could be God has seen what money would do in your life. Could be that He sees that if you had money and possessions, you wouldn't have time for Him. So God withholds those things from your life and your heart. There are times that God sees areas that need to be worked on and touched in our life to help us, to make us like Him. And so He works sometimes in painful ways, sometimes in thorns of the flesh, sometimes through problems of life, that it might help us in our lives and in our hearts. Listen, there are times that we are so busy telling God how He ought to fix things and handle things in our life that we totally miss the purpose that He has for our troubles and trials and difficulties of life. There are times we don't have time to hear what He has to say. There are times we're too busy telling Him how to fix it, how to straighten it out, how to work it out, when He has something else in our life that He wants to say to us and wants to do in our hearts. Paul's thorn was weighing heavy on his life. It was given him by God. He kept trying to give it back to God. He kept saying, God, take this away. I don't want it. I don't want this in my life. If I could only be shed of this, if I could only be rid of it, if I didn't have that problem in my life, if I didn't have that circumstance in my family, if I didn't have that problem that I'm going through, things would be so much better in my life and in my heart. So God, take it away and get rid of it. That wasn't God's plan for the life of Paul. That wasn't what God intended to do. So that brings us to the third thing about Paul's thorn. Not just do we see the problem of it and the purpose of it, but notice the promise for Paul's thorn. God did not take it away. Though he had prayed about it, and though he asked God to do it, God didn't choose to take it away. Look at verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. It isn't always God's will to take away our problems, but He does promise to give grace to deal with them. It isn't always His will to remove it. It isn't always God's will to take it away. It isn't always God's will to remove that thorn. But you can mark it down. He has promised grace to deal
with the thorn in the flesh. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Can I tell you something about the sufficiency of God's grace? When Paul is talking about sufficient, he is not saying that God had just enough grace to get by. He said God was telling him he had grace as much as would be needed, and then much more on top of that. I'm glad to tell you today that God has grace adequate for every valley. He has grace adequate for every trial. He has grace adequate for every sorrow. He has grace adequate for every sickness of our life. Every trouble, every trial, every thorn that comes in our pathway, God has grace sufficient for it all. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, I'm glad His grace is sufficient. He has all that we need, and then more on top of that. Don't miss this. Don't miss what I'm about to say. In times of trial, in times of trouble, in times of weakness, God will bring us to the place that we learn that His grace and His strength is all that we need. There are times that God will put us in circumstances of life that He may prove to us that He is everything that we need in life. You know, there's times we think we can do pretty well on our own. We got money in the bank. Our health is good. Our jobs are secure. Our bills are being paid. Everything's running smooth. Then suddenly something happens. We can't depend on the bank account anymore. We're not sure about the job anymore. And suddenly we get behind a month on the bills, and we begin to wonder, God, what's going to happen? You know what God says? He says, my grace is sufficient. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what God is doing at times in our life? He is getting us to the point that we realize we need Him more than anything else in our lives and in our hearts. He's wanting us to realize it's not our strength, but His strength. It's not our ability, but His ability. It's not our power, but His power at work in our lives. Can I tell you something today? God takes great delight. God takes great delight in walking right into the middle of your trouble. He likes coming right in the middle of your storm. He likes showing up right in the middle of your turmoil and demonstrating His power and giving His grace for your life and for your heart. I think about those disciples. They were on the sea. Jesus was on the shore up on the mountain praying. He saw them out there toiling and rowing. He saw them out there in the middle of the storm, and they thought, man, this is it. We're in the middle of the storm. Jesus ain't with us. We're going down. But all of a sudden it said in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came walking across the waters unto them. I want to tell you, there's been times in my life that I was in the fourth watch of the night and I was in the storm. And I thought, oh God, this looks like it's it for me. But I began to see somebody come walking across the waves of my storm. And He come walking right into the middle of my trouble. And I found out His grace was sufficient. And I found out His strength was all that I needed. There's times that God will put you right there, right in the middle of that trouble, right with that storm in your life, right in the thorn of your flesh, and He will come walking in when you think nothing else is going to work and nothing good's going to happen. He will come walking right in the middle of it all and give grace and strength to your life and to your heart. He likes doing that. He likes doing that. He likes waiting till you're at the end of your resources that you might realize it's not about you, it's about Him. He likes you getting to the place where you understand that it is not about you hanging on and holding out, but it's about Him giving grace and Him giving strength in your life and in your heart. He may not take away the thorn. He may not just calm all the waves immediately in your life, but He'll walk through the storm with you. He'll give you grace for the pain. He'll give you strength for the journey. He'll supply exactly what you need when you need it. He'll do it. He'll do it. You say, preacher, why in the world would He do such things? That the world may know that it's not you but Him. You know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 15? He said, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You say, preacher, what in the world's Paul saying? He's saying that God comes right in the middle of your troubles and trials and difficulties and demonstrates His power and His strength and His grace so that people may look and see that God done it in your life and give glory and honor unto Him. I'm telling you that God has grace. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what burden I'm carrying. You don't know my fear. And you don't know my worry. And you don't know my pain. And you don't know my hurt. No, I don't. I can honestly say today, I don't know what you feel. And I don't know how you hurt. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know my God. And I know He's faithful. I know He'll be there with you. I know He'll not leave you nor forsake you. I know He has grace sufficient. I know He has strength to help you through the burden and the battle and the troubles of life. I know He'll be there. I don't know what you're going through, but I know He does, and I know He's able. I know He's able to meet the needs of your life and of your heart. I see in these verses the problem of Paul's thorn, the promise of Paul's thorn, the purpose of it. But notice the perspective about Paul's thorn. Something began to happen in Paul's life. He heard God say, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Then Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." Why? "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul seems now willing to accept what God's brought his way. His idea seems to be this, that God, if you have brought this my way, there's a purpose in it all. And even though you didn't take it away, you promised grace and strength. And because of that, I can face it. I can face the infirmity. I can face the necessity. I can face the reproaches. I can face the stress of life. I can face the problems of life. I can face the thorn in the flesh. Because I realize you've got grace and strength sufficient for it all. It's interesting to realize that that little phrase that Paul used in verse number 10, he said, or excuse me, verse number 9, he said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he said, when I am weak, then am I strong. It's interesting that those words sound a lot similar to what Jesus cried on the cross when he cried, "It is finished." They tell us in the Greek language that they are very similar. That what Paul is saying, that what looked like weakness on the cross when Jesus said it's finished, was actually power because he had won the victory. Paul said what looks like weakness in my life is actually God working his power in my life. God demonstrating his power, his strength in my heart. That God is showing himself mighty in my situation and in my circumstance. You know what Paul seems to say? Paul seems to say, if he can redeem me from my sins, he can get me through the thorn in the flesh. He can get me through the troubles of life. You know what? Somehow in our mentality, we often think, well, Lord, I don't have any doubt believing that you saved me. I don't have any doubt believing that one of these days I'm going to die and go home to heaven. I don't have any problem believing that the trumpet's going to sound one day and you're going to catch us out, take us home to be of you. But we sure do struggle thinking he's going to get us through the troubles and the trials and the thorns of life. Can I just go on record and tell you today that if he's powerful enough to save you, he is powerful enough to keep you and to strengthen you and to get you through the troubles and the difficulties that life brings your way. Look at some of the things. I'm getting ready to close. Look at some of the things Paul said God was going to get him through. He described infirmities. That talks about weakness or limitations. Reproaches, injuries caused by others. Necessities, talking about physical needs. Persecutions, pressure that comes from without. Distresses is talking about being squeezed within. Covers a lot of things, doesn't it? Talks about what life puts on you on the outside, what life does to you on the inside. Talks about what people may do to you in life. Talks about physical needs that you may have. Times in your life that you feel weak or limited. But Paul said, you know what? I've come to understand that God has grace for it all. And God has strength for it all. I'm going to tell you something you may not want to hear. You may not like to hear. You say, preacher, what is that? It may not be God's will to take away your thorn. It may not be God's will to take away the problem that you face in life. But you can rest assured that He has grace sufficient and strength made perfect in your time of weakness. Sometimes God's answer to our prayers is no. Sometimes God says, just like He did with Paul. Paul prayed and said, God, take it away. God's response was no. But even when He said no, He said, my grace is sufficient. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. There are some things that God in His divine wisdom may choose to leave in our lives. But if God so chooses to leave it in our lives, He will give you grace and will give you strength to get through it all. There are people sitting right here under the sound of my voice today. You're dealing with some things in your own life. you're dealing with some worries and doubts and fears and struggles. You're dealing with some sorrows. You're dealing with things. It could be things that you've never told anybody else about. You say, preacher, I've been praying and praying and praying and saying, God, take this away, take this away. God might be trying to say to your heart today, listen, my grace is sufficient for it. And my strength will be made perfect through your time of weakness. I don't know what you may be struggling with today. I don't know what may be hurting in your life. But I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven that cares about what you're going through. What you may need to do today is say, Lord, I just want to trust you. I just want to lean upon you. I know you've said that grace was sufficient. Lord, I need that grace today. I know you've said that your strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, I feel so weak. I sure need your strength. I can't face this alone. I can't make it on my own. But God, I sure do need your help today. By the grace of God, I'm trusting you. And I know you're going to get me through it. I want them to get